This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, October 29th, 2009.
Where are we meeting for Into the Street? Office hours are going to be canceled this week because we're taking a few SA members to participate in Into the Streets. We're going to Dryden Community Center Cafe. We're going to meet 10 a.m. on Saturday morning in Barton Hall. We're going to get t-shirts and then go off to our community venue. We have a SUNY SA update. Forgot open mic. Anyone from the audience who wants to say something that's currently not on the agenda, please step forward and do so now. Introduce yourself and your year for the record.
Hi, my name is Charles and I'm an A major senior, one of the co-chairs of the SAS community. Certainly, we're the SAS meeting today. I'm mainly here for a point of clarification. Cornell Sigma is a bilateral organization that funds exclusively through SAS appropriations. We don't go through SAS.
Thanks for that clarification, Charlie. SUNY SA update by Representative Banzer and Representative Welch. Any questions for Kristen or Matt? Oh, Matt, you have something for me. Okay, UA update, Representative Nicholas.
Okay, so last night the UA met. Now, the first thing that happened was that Deputy Provost Dave Harris came and gave an update about the Reimagining Cornell program. And basically, they imposed contract with Cornell in Freeman's office about a week Friday. And they found about $90 million to have to budget, and both personnel and non personnel funding. And part of the non personnel funding that they found is about basically reducing the amount of administrative personnel and supervisors in the middle, as well as finding a better way of procurement, trying to find a way to negotiate with authorized members of the university. And this represents kind of the middle to the end of the first stage of the Reimagining Cornell program. So they go into the strategic planning phase, it's not the execution phase, which will take anywhere from months to years. Dynamic revision changes. I know that all of you are going to be proposing something like that to the ASA. So now, after that, we can finally officially staff the committee, which is important. And and also have a charter change committee because they're really looking at the relevance of their charter this semester and how can they find a place to do that.
All right, thanks. We have a newsletter update by BBN.
Yeah, so newsletter, send me your articles. I know they're supposed to be due last night. That should be out hopefully by next Friday is my goal to get the newsletter out. So send me those articles. Also, the first essay, the PR campaign with your emails and your quick facts, that just got approved UC, so that'll be Wednesday through Friday. That'll be on the Arts Squad website.
SAFC update, Representative Lynn.
So again, we've been going over the SAFC bylaws and the improvement of the changes for the coming semester. So next year, if you have any changes, we want to put your impact on the changes that we want to make sometime in the meeting. We'll have to make
sure. Right, and a dining committee update by Representative Latella. Are you ready for this?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. After last week, if you guys remember, I spent about 10 minutes talking about all the exciting dining programs and promotions that we're working on right now. So I thought it fitting to bring the director of dining, Gail Finan, as well as celebrity chef, Samir Saran, who also is the designer of the American Masala concept. So, Gail, if you want to give a quick little update about some of the programs we're doing and talk about Cornell Dining, that would be great.
Thank you for having me. I'm not a celebrity. I just want to thank Alex was here, and I want to thank Greg Mendy, who worked so well with him in the classroom. I want you to realize anything that you feel that you think would be important for a front of audience to know, you've got Alex, and my email is GPS23, and I'm glad to listen and see if there are things that we can change. We are so fortunate at Cornell to have Samir Saran here. And do all of you know who he is?
No.
No, okay. Samir was last year CCG from his restaurant in New York that he, and when he came, he found a love and passion with his students and with the Cornell dining staff and has now joined us in the consultant role. And we are opening, we have opened American Masala at Trillium. It is food that is made from scratch. It is food that is good for you, and it tastes good. So all of this together makes very, very special and very, very, very important. Before I turn the mic over to Samir, I'd like to add that next week we're going to have our CCG and that is something on Thursday right here with Chef Chai Farian from Marmite Restaurant out of San Francisco, one of the most premier chefs in the world. Let me say that again, in the world. Right here at Cornell University, and I know. It gives me goosebumps to think how fortunate we are to have that. He will be here doing a meal on Thursday at Open Field downstairs, but when you're finished, plan on going down there and meeting him and taking his final cuisine. And on Friday, Robert will go. And I know you've got a big quantity here for other things, so I'm going to let you hear just say two or three words, and those of those here are going to be probably dead. Thank you again, and know that your comments are important to point out.
I just want to know what I came in from Yale to the yesterday night, and I also invite the doctor of the school of life, where they should be eating, and where the class should be eating. And you choose the full luxury to be at here, to be at home there, and have Gail making radical changes that are much deeper in their rules of sustainability, well-being, well-being, and most of all, the issues directly, and almost any other university in America. But indeed, you can always containing a very important part of student life to play in great issues. I did that as a young student in New York, when nobody heard me, we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have community meetings, and so nobody here. You are complaining and making change, but I think the support of the university, support of the for them dining in this case, by spending money on the library. They're bringing the local stuff and they're going to need that. So they're going by rubbish from college staff and things like that. So I think it's very important to support what you're asking for. And you can do that. that the Israelites will be the beginning of the shepherd in your mind. That at the end of it, you can say the Christian has to be sustainable. This is what you're doing by your mouth. Thank you.
Representative Kumar.
Yeah, just two quick comments. First of all, I just want to thank Sevier for bringing the station to Cornell. I think it was a genre of food, I guess, that was sorely missing from this campus. And I highly encourage all SA members, everybody in the audience, to check this new station out at Trillium, because it's really, really good. And the second thing is, I just wanted to thank Gail too for I don't think in 2 years I've known that SA, there's been an administrator who's been so good about using the SA and the students to get feedback to the administrative units, and you've been really great. That also reflects on Alex too for running a great committee this year. So thank you very much.
And I'll add one thing about Trillium, the fact that Trillium is not just the food we have, it comes from food from around the world. One of the dishes we serve is a Katush salad in Lebanon, and when the chairman of the salad is not made by us, we're now funding the restaurant community of the city that wasn't really meant to support you. So what you get in this Cornell Dining and Trillium is cutting edge global food. It's the world table in the city of the current food that we get, Katush, we get Udadara, Moroccan food, we get Indian dining, even lasagna, we may need to get. But all we allow you to do that food in the kitchen with special ingredients. And I can believe you that they can watch it. And they get the food of Mandara,
thank you very much, Mr. Sharon, and thanks for coming. Before we move on to appeals, I have a few more announcements and also approval of October 22nd's minutes. They were sent to you via email. Are there any motions? There's been a motion to approve. Call for acclamation. Is there any dissent? All right, the minutes have been approved. Now, two more announcements. This Sunday, November 1st, from 8 to 10 p.m. in the Uzuma Main Lounge, there's going to be a special Unity Hour, community forum centered one. It's going to be focusing on diversity hosting weekend, the Asian American Community Center, COSEP, LGBTQ issues, Uzuma, and a whole host of other things. Come ask questions, hear people give answers, and let us know what you think. And next, we have a brief introduction of the Course Rank website by Representative Yang.
Just a brief introduction of the website. It's by Jensen, which is now DIT in the Assembly of Institutional Services. And also, this website is built to prevent our professors to rate our courses. Not only can see the reviews of the other students who can avoid making mistakes like the other former students make. So it's a good website, so if any of you have interested, just add your friends and invite your friends to come on Facebook and sign up for it. Okay. Of course, my website.
Any other questions for Representative? Okay, we'll go on to the SAFC appeals decision by BP Big.
All right, so you all don't have the SAFC appeal decision in front of you for MOCC, so I will go over it briefly. MOCC was heard as an SAFC appeal before the Appropriations Committee this past Monday. The Appropriations Committee recommended funding MOCC, the Medical College Council, $4,087 for the fall semester by a vote of 10-0, which involved full funding at $2,700 for lodging and $1,387 for travel expenses. And MOCC had the same problem as the same mistake, excuse me, as several of the other appeal organizations we saw last week with documentation. And the Appropriations Committee applied the same standard to MOCC in terms of the lack of funding for MOCC as an SAFC-funded organization, disallowing them to exist for an entire calendar year. Essentially, given the nature of the event that MOCC was requesting funding for, the committee, again, by a vote of 10-0, voted for full support. So I apologize if you don't have the written rationale in front of you. Do you guys have any questions? Are there any motions?
Call for affirmation.
Second.
All right. I already done. comment. All right. Yeah. So if there's no dissent, then their appeal will be granted, and we'll move on to the Appropriations Committee allocation.
All right. So first, in the packets you have in front of you, we're going to talk about athletics. Athletics was funded 2 years ago at $9.95 per student. For the prior 2 years, for those of you who are juniors and seniors, you will remember that we were required to pay for athletic events. 2 years ago, the Student Assembly essentially negotiated with athletics to fund the Big Red Sports Pass through the student activity fee. So basically the Appropriations Committee voted by a vote of 14-0, voted to fund athletics $10 for the 2010-2012 buy-in funding cycle. That includes $7 for the Big Red Sports Pass and $3 for the Sports Marketing Group. The committee, as you can see in the third paragraph below, did have some recommendations for improvements in the Sports Marketing Group. Namely the fact that, and this is a very new organization that was formed in the last few years, but the Assembly really wants the Sports Marketing Group to, the Appropriations Committee really felt that the Sports Marketing Group should look to function not autonomously, but more independently and with more responsibility and authority than they currently have, and that athletics should, in effect, be functioning in an advisory role instead of a management role. So those are the committee's constructive sort of comments about sports marketing, and this is something that we should definitely consider potentially legislating about in the spring for Phoenix View. Questions or comments or motions?
Second.
Mommy?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any dissent? All right. Seeing none, athletics is approved. Next, we're going to talk about alternative breaks. So, I'm going by the agenda. All right. I must leave the agenda. So, basically, alternative breaks is a new bond funded organization. They have not received bond funding in the past. They were previously funded through a variety of outside funding sources, as well as the FDIC. Alternative Breaks sought $1 in student activity fee support for the 2010-2012 violent funding cycle. In effect, the Appropriations Committee was concerned that basically their operating budget is roughly $27,000, but they're seeking only $13,000 in student activity fee support, which necessitates they fundraise for the remainder. Really the Appropriations Committee was concerned about alternative breaks being able to maintain the quality of their programming in light of high outside fundraising needs. In effect, a dollar was only the amount that they requested for. Are there any other questions or comments on alternative breaks? Yeah, Justin?
Could you explain a little bit more about how alternative breaks would be able to
Okay. Alternative Breaks, I guess, if you had to make a comparison to another organization, it would be Wilderness Reflections, now known as Outdoor Odyssey, which puts on So similarly, Alternative Breaks looks to serve, a limited number of students in the participating in Alternative Breaks trips. However, trips are open to all undergraduate students. Other committee members, feel free to speak your mind as well.
And I guess also they said post the trip they have events where they share information and the work that they've done and encourage people to, you know, do community service.
Okay. Sorry. So any other questions? Yeah, and that's something that many committee members felt, again, very strongly about Independence B, mandating that alternative breaks have that post-trip experience where they are bringing back those experiences from alternative breaks back to the student body, whether that's a series of forums, speaker events, I don't know. But that's definitely something that was very important to the Appropriations Committee. Any motions? Any dissent? Alternative breaks has been approved. Next, we're going to move on to the Community Center Council. The Community Center Council was an organization that we heard. We heard them originally, I think, three weeks or a month ago, and the Appropriations Committee had a lot of concerns about their budget, essentially because budget cuts, a variety of reasons. The Appell Council is a community center location for programming, was cut. So essentially, 2 years ago, the Community Center Councils received $3, $1 each for RPCC, Appell, and Noise. So Appell was cut for the programming. As a result, Community Center Councils for the creation of the Social Justice Advocate. As a separate council to receive $1 and focus on relating to promoting understanding and justice advocacy for different, I guess, something that was, there was a lot of overlap between other organizations such as Haven, the Women's Resource Center, MGLC, Alana, etc., which is in your rationale here, and felt uncomfortable funding SGA, but at the same time, the number of programs funded by the Community Center Councils really meant that the committee also wasn't comfortable funding Community Center Councils at $2. So the Appropriations Committee basically encouraged the Community Center Council to rethink their proposal and come forward with a new proposal, which again included the combination of SJA within and sort of social and educational programming within the RPCC and North Councils, but that North Campus received $2 in funding. As part of the proposal, and again, this is something we'll have to legislate in spring, but that North Campus would still receive $2 in funding so that freshmen would have the benefit of having additional community center programming support, and Noise would get $1. So are there any, yeah, Vince?
Yeah, I guess one thing that I think should also be added is that the Appropriations Committee also would like to see some more student involvement from the community centers and the boards.
I think, yeah, I think for a lot of groups like this, again, student involvement and student leadership, especially in programming, is absolutely essential. It's a student activity fee, and really in the guidelines for the student activity fee, it stipulates that that groups must be student-led, and only by exemption can groups not be student-led. So this is definitely something that we'll want to reiterate in the future, and I can reach out to the group and address that as well. Are there any motions, comments? Motion, call question. Is there any
call
other?
For acclamation.
Is a call for acclamation? Is there any dissent? Do we have any?
Nope.
Okay.
All right.
So at this point, we're going to move on to the agenda. The reason that many people are here today, namely the appeal. I guess at this time, could those Cornell Cinema representatives step up to the table, please?
Cornell Cinema requested additional time to present themselves, so I'm going to grant them 10 minutes, and should anyone feel that they need more time, you know, I invite you all to motion to extend their time. And for the people holding signs in the back, feel free to grab some chairs if you want to rest your feet. Oh, yeah, and I'm going to recognize every third speaker. Parliamentarian Cohn's going to walk around with a list and take names down. So. Yeah.
All right, so to explain for both everyone in the Assembly and everyone in the audience's benefit, essentially how this process works for appealing, Basically, I will first present the rationale of the Appropriations Committee, and then the group, as Rambi just said, will then we'll go directly into questions, comments, statements from both Assembly members and Committee members. In terms of actually deciding on the way things will work procedurally is we will take two votes. The first vote will be a decision, a vote on whether or not to overturn the decision. That will be a yes-no vote. And that's a two-thirds vote, so two-thirds of the Assembly will have to vote yes to overturn the Appropriations Committee decision. At that point, if two-thirds of the Assembly votes yes, we will enter into a funding discussion for Cornell Cinema, where any dollar amount between 0 and 1175, which is their max, their requested amount, can be proposed, and then we will vote on it from the highest amount before. Are there any questions, especially from Assembly members? All right. Seeing none, I'll first go into the rationale of the Appropriations Committee. The Appropriations Committee recommended funding Cornell Cinema $8.60 for the 2010-2012 filing funding cycle by a vote of 9-4. The Appropriations Committee also voted on $11.75 and $11, both by votes of 0-13. The Appropriations Committee essentially was concerned about a number of aspects of Cornell Cinema's proposal. Firstly, attendance was something that was discussed. Additionally, Cornell Cinema is currently holding approximately $80,000 in cash reserve, and many committee members felt that this was excessive, that some cash reserves given Cornell Cinema's justification to cover projector damage. $80,000 in cash reserves was too much, as I said. Other committee members also recommended encouraging cinema to look to reduce the number of days a week that it programs to Wednesday through Saturday, given, I guess, cinema's belief that these were more highly demanded days. Committee members were also very concerned overall about the total percent of expenditures as a part of cinema's budget representing administrative staff salary. Sorry. Is this better? Committee members were very concerned about the level of expenditures as part of the cinema's overall budget representing staff salaries. Total budget, and also committee members were concerned about the $36,000 roughly per year that cinema pays student staff. Basically, committee members were concerned that these high expenditures together representing about 50% of cinema's budget wasn't sustainable in the future, and that further increases in the student activity fee in the future would be necessary. Essentially. Committee members also felt, just sort of as a matter of principle, that it was improper to charge students a student activity fee to pay the salaries of other students. Basically, again, reflecting, I guess, these ideas, the committee proposed funding cinema at $8.60 to reflect the reduction of most of that $36,000 for student staff salaries. Though the committee did believe that, in their minds, leaving about $5,000 to fund essentially essential student positions was justified, especially given the precedent of minor student salaries and only one other bilingual funded group. Other committee members proposed lower funding allocation to Cornell Cinema. Other numbers that were proposed were $6.70 and $3.80. The rationales for those different funding maps you all have in front of you today, student assembly members. I guess on the whole, it was, if I had to sort of editorialize and summarize, committee members really had very mixed feelings. On one hand, committee members felt very strongly that Cornell Cinema is a program that should be supported, but there were a lot of difficult aspects.
Go ahead. Speaking to the mic, please.
Other overhead costs, part of the ticket and other income, outside vendors, to share them because she's already mentioned in other concerns that have been raised. Back to student employees. The committee didn't think the activity should cover the student wages. And as I've just demonstrated, you can cover these wages from other sources. But the analysis of counting issue is important to explain why we do need to pay employees to run shows. And it's crucial to point out that if we replace student workers with non-student workers, it would cost us much more. Changing to a volunteer-only staff arrangement is not realistic. You can't expect students to volunteer for shifts 2 to 3 times a week and work until midnight, sometimes later, sometimes under stressful conditions. Projections must spend 10 to 15 hours of training to learn how to operate equipment that costs thousands of dollars, show skills that range in replacement value between 5 and 10 hours. And be responsible for thousands of dollars in cash on those who have large salaries. They are in charge. Advisors are not there with them. Attendance. There seems to be a perception on the front line that most of our shows are poorly attended. This is not true. As I've already mentioned, there were 30,000 admissions last year and 20,000 of them were undergraduate admissions. We've also prepared document numbers within our per show attendance for last year and as we look at that now. As you can see, 116 of the 272 programs presented, 42% were attended by 104 men. Only 40 of the 272 programs were attended by fewer than 30 people, and 10 of those programs we put on for student organizations at their request. And an additional 6 of those 40 were done as part of a special series we did last year. We were trying it out, films from developing countries. It was not successful, and we will not be continuing it. The issue of not showing them up, but it's not worth showing film Sunday through Tuesday. The fact is, students do attend on this night. We have used our data from this semester on shows presented Sunday through Tuesday and found that per screening attendance on these nights ranges from 45 to 60. And in order to maintain the club program, which is part of our mission, to accommodate as many student organization requests as we can, maintain the integrity of the program so that we can continue to receive outside grants, and to offer enough training options so that many students who would like to see a particular film have the opportunity to do so, we need to show them 7 nights a week. And screening 7 nights a week is one of the special things about Cornell Cinema. It has been a tradition on campus for 40 years. We've also been told that we haven't done enough qualifying, but I direct your attention to the other handout we prepared, that there's been many ways in which we have cut costs in recent years. Finally, consequences for the committee to say that the cost is approved. Because we can only partially rely on student volunteers to set our shows, we will not be able to cover the roughly $32,000 per year cut by discontinuing payments to students back. Instead, we need to try and make up this loss, as well as a $15,000 loss we've already incurred from elsewhere in our budget. And it's likely we have to come out of programming expenses, meaning a less diverse lineup of films, fewer special events, and possibly showing them fewer nights of the week. We will also probably have to stop responding to student organizations. Thank you. overload problem is just for them. And isn't that what the thesis is about, creating a reserve space against the students on campus?
But,
thank you.
That's right on time. Good job. So before I open up the speakers list, obviously, as you can tell from the great audience gathering here, that this is a huge issue. So if you have a question about anything, make sure you're perfectly clear on what you're learning. At any point, you can take point of information and ask your question. So we'll open it up. EPB.
I actually had a couple questions for whoever you feel are student representatives in your advisory board. A couple of leaders in the advisory board.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Hi. So, I guess I just wanted to learn a little bit more before we actually get into any debate or discussion about your role and the role of the Student Advisory Board as part of Cornell Cinema. So, day to day, can you talk a little bit about how your, essentially what kind of work does the Student Advisory Board do for Cornell Cinema? Is it planning movies? Is it managing the workers? What are you guys doing? So it's just kind of a sounding board, and logistically, when it comes to the day-to-day for Cornell Cinema, are you guys recommending movies and then just they're ordered by staff members, or how does that work for you as an advisory board?
Well, I mean, we all come from different places, and I'm much more of a cinema lover, and so my role is more in recommending and helping with programming. Some of our student board members are actually working as well.
Are those the paid student staff in the office?
Chris, we like to tell you how we work with the advisory board. We're not claiming the students are. I mean, there needs to be a full-time staff.
I'm just curious what their overall involvement with the organization is.
Sure. And then I don't know if you can talk, but I just wanted to say that basically we're going to get input from them on how to do
Motion to extend.
No, they're not the ones who are actually then going to order and selling something we're doing. And it's a rather time-consuming process. In any given calendar, we get some about 50 different sources. A lot of it requires research to figure out where the money comes from, where it should be. And it requires kind of a day-to-day maintenance of all those activities and rolling. And so,
So in terms of all the actual details, when movies are shown, how often they're shown, which movies are shown, which date, all of the minutia, that's all handled by staff members?
Generally speaking, yeah, it's a pretty complex setup, showing some of the activities. So we do it once again and get advice from the students, what films to show, when to show them, when to show them, when to show them, when to show them, generally that type of thing.
Especially when we're showing the King Warriors out here, Julie and Julia, and we just mostly probably faults that we're in were having, like, that would be one too as well. Like, for example, like, if it's a community, like, maybe it was from and different things that show, like, how, like, the movie up, how popular that is.
So really, really quickly to jump in, when, as a student advisory board and as film advocates, what is your guys' role in promoting the organization and public relations and drawing students to movies?
Well, like for me, I live on campus, so I set up different posters for, like, different signs for my dorm, and also I'm a math and I'm a student who works with a straight ball.
So, how do you go out, how do you guys, also as an advisory board, go out to students and find out what movie students want to hear or want to watch? Excuse me.
Well,
it's really casual and informal. Mostly they just do word of mouth. Like, we're thinking. Showing up the movie, just bringing a movie to the next week or sometimes two, and then afterwards we'll just spread the word about the movie just to the body. It's not that you don't do anything, we don't do any formal planning or publicity, you just sort of are here to advocate for the movie to the most of the time.
Alright, that's all for now. Yeah.
Are students on the advisory board also paid, or is it just the 35 ushers and managers?
How much overlap is there between the paid positions and the students serving on the advisory board? Yeah.
Out of
how many?
Okay.
All right, great. VP Kumar.
Nice to see you guys all again. On Monday we talked about how our student activity fee doesn't necessarily subsidize.
Speaking to Mike.
Oh yeah, it doesn't necessarily subsidize student ticket prices. It more supports the institution as a whole. And you know, 2 years ago I think the institution was in basically the same place where the SA Appropriations Committee recommended to cut their funding. And, you know, we had another meeting just like this where there was, you know, people on both sides debating about the role of the SA and the role of the student activity fee in supporting Cornell Cinema. So I just wanted to find out, I guess, you know, since the last budget battle, if you will, what I guess, steps have you taken to sort of restructure Cornell Cinema to make it more sustainable, more student-led, and more, you know, more reflective of student interests. So what actions have you taken over the last 2 years to do that?
Well, 2 years ago, every 2 years after that, I've just been a different concern about the organization, so I'm having a hard time talking about it sometimes. Anyway, 2 years ago, we were doing one of the big concerns was that we had to pay rent for the theater and then for our offices. I think that was 2 years ago. And so there was a lot of discussion about that, and we had a meeting with the museum to talk about the possibility of getting the but that wasn't that was only there were only willing to consider that if we were to cut back on the number of lines that we should send for the next program. So that's one thing we can pursue and go very far actually. There was no consideration about lowering the price of the paying for the theater rental. We've been working with the advisory board regularly, and we've set up, we've done a lot more stuff online, and Facebook and Twitter, it's a way of basically connecting with students and basically kind of hearing from them. We really are always open to suggestions from anything, not just students on the advisory board.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in because I think my time is a little limited. I have just two quick questions. So is it true that Cornell Cinema had a $40,000 surplus in 2006-07 and it's gone down to a $16,000 deficit in 2009-10?
Projected.
No, it's a $40,000 surplus in 2006-07. to a $16,000 deficit in 2009-2010 projected?
Right. The surplus received is $38,000. That actually was in part the result of cost-cutting measures that we took that are outlined in the sheet that you have. Some of those things happened that year, and they actually saved more money than we even imagined. So that actually accounts for a significant portion of that. And we can put see that that was obviously that was a good thing to do, and it will be better than the default. Some of the streamlining listed on that sheet that we gave you. The $16,000 deficit increase for this year, we didn't have time to talk about that, but we have a video to talk to you about that. Those are the outside cuts that we have experienced because of the economic downturn. And so that's what that is. And so that's what we're hoping you might be able to look at to help us out with the economic downturn, and that's probably about 75% of the student increase.
Great. And if I could, just one last question. So Cornell Cinema is not, it's housed in the College of Arts and Sciences, correct?
That's right.
All right, thank you.
All right, we'll bring it to the audience. Alexandra Parada, if you want to come up, introduce yourself in the media. Representative Glasser.
Okay, I have a few questions. First, for Professor Chris, we fund the other organizations which directly get students through bilateral funding.
The only other student to be paid for receiving for bilateral funding from students is right over there. The student assembly's clerk is paid other student activity fees, and that amounts to about, I think, $2,000 or $3,000. Per year.
For you guys, just curious, what's the average wage of the students who work for you guys? How many people fit into the screening room, and about how many people show up for a screening? Like, if you're attached to that.
Once again, I have some of those in my prison, some of those. First of all, just answer your question about the activity on the other managers for other organizations. And I'm just going to refer back to the budget that we just gave you to show you that we don't have to use the activity to pay. We can cover student payments from other sources of income. We will not use the activity to pay students. That is a concern.
So maybe in our meeting I wasn't clear on this. From the breakdown you showed me, it was the direct student labor costs would be used for the student activity fee, but the indirect, meaning the solely staff salaries, would not be. And you told me that we would use them to fund the student salaries.
Right. What we did is to make it clear, because that everybody in the community is so concerned about the student wages, we basically we pulled that out and we're looking at the revision that we just passed out to everybody. And so what we're saying is our direct program expenses are close to $200,000, as you can see that, plus $36,000 for student wages. But But as you can see, we only get 145,000 from CSSP. So that doesn't even cover all of our direct program expenses minus student wages. So we don't have to use money from the activity fee to pay the students. We don't have to use money from the activity fee to pay other non-student wages. We don't do that. We can do it. We will only apply it to direct programming expenses. Okay? So sorry, I put two questions over here. And so one of them was, what is the hourly rate for student employees? I think Chris will probably get it on the session.
So,
point of information, they didn't address staffing wages, like the ones that work for the administrative, so that work for you guys. How much?
That's okay. All right. Representative Min. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Well, ask your question.
Fine. All right. Okay. Yeah. Right. How many students fit in the same amount of time? And what's the average attendance down
there? 300 people downstairs and 40 upstairs and downstairs.
So basically, as I said, overall, the attendance last year was 30,000, and we presented 272 different programs, and so the average attendance per program is 110, and then we basically look at ticket data to sort of see how percent of those students are undergrad, which is about 65%, so that we average undergraduates in the per program.
Well, I mean, I don't mean to
be
like
for any person.
Well, you have
to make
this one. I mean, like, you show
all the
yes, I mean, like,
how
many
right, right. I actually don't have that figure, but let's get some figure and figure that out. The thing is, I'm not sure that that's a particularly relevant figure, but the reason that we show them multiple times is because students are so busy these days that if we just show it once, it would probably be very hard for all the students who want to see it to come that one time. And so that's why we try our best to offer multiple times to see something. So I think the aggregate number of students who come, just because of their busy schedule, but that's the relevant figure to look at. And so I think the attendance breakdown should be given and gives you some information there as well.
Okay,
well,
that's my question. About how many times have you seen this film?
It depends on the film. Some things you show once or twice, some things you show 5 or 6 times.
Okay, rest on this.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. Just a couple of questions. I think one of the main things also on the rationale is that there's 9,000 cash reserves. I hope that you can address why that much cash reserve is needed within your account. And number two, I actually just wanted to question, a quick question about the trajectory of the attendance and if that's been increasing over the years, yes, hopefully you try to have more ambitions about the programming to attract more students, and hopefully how that trajectory is for years to come. And number three, I actually had a question about the supervisory board again. From the scope, they basically mentioned that a lot of the screening process as far as what can be shown is very informal from themselves. And I'm just wondering why the council has a much more active effort in
Okay, let's see. I'm trying to remember. Was your first question about the reserve? Okay. So, as you can see, as we said in 06, 07, we just had a much larger surplus than expected, and that's been a part of why we do now have about 79,000. Going into this year, about 79,000 reserves. But because of the over $15,000 cuts that we've been incurred this year, we continue to anticipate a deficit of about that amount. So at the end of this year, the reserve will
actually 63,000. So the response, that's probably the number one people that you should look at, 63. That reserve is there to cover deficit. So thank God that's there to be able to afford the cut that we got this year and can cover it out of the reserve. But the other thing that the reserve is there for is for equipment replacement. Equipment for movie theater is really quite expensive. The projectors in Europe's auditorium are 70 years old, and amazingly they still work, but they could break down like that. And to replace them would cost $30,000.
Yeah, thanks. Now going on to another audience member, Mary Woods. Mary Woods in the audience.
First, I'd just like to say thank you.
If you can speak up for the recording.
First of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming back to speak. I've been a faculty member here for now the past 25 years in the history of cities and also buildings. My college is Architecture, Art, and Planning. And when I first came to Cornell 25 years ago in New York City, one of the response points for me as a faculty member and a film lover was this incredible resource of cinema, which we had here. I quickly found out that it is not only a kind of venue for entertainment, but also it is an extension of the classroom and studio as well. I have taught over the years in seminars and courses with colleagues across campus, with students from across the campus as well.
Next up is VP Williams.
I'm just going to yield my time to VP Davis.
Thanks. Thanks, Ola. I wanted to point out, a few things relating to both the way violence-funded organizations work, as well as non-student activity income and salaries. So first, the way violent funding works for every violent funding organization, all income goes into a pool and all income is spent equally. Therefore, it's misleading to use any kind of sleight of hand that says that our money will only go to this, our money will only go to that, unless we legislate it that way in appendix B, which would mean that we would be giving way too much of a subsidy to Cornell Cinema for their operating budget. I can talk a little bit about more of that later. But more important, what I wanted to point out here was that if you add up for all of you who have budgets in front of you, the total non-student activity fee income in each year, and then you also add up in each year the total student and staff salary expenses and benefits for each year, you find that in 2006-2007, the total non-student activity fee income was $292,000. The total staff and student salary expenditure was $295,000. In 2007-2008, the number was $280,000 in income, $303,000 in student and staff expenditures. 2008-2009, income stays roughly the same at $295,000, while expenses on student and staff salaries grow to $311,000. Then projected in 2009-2010, we have student and staff salaries growing to $320,000. So each year what we see is that there's an increasing student subsidy directly for student staff salaries. The numbers simply don't add up, that students aren't directly contributing to subsidizing student staff salaries. You can't argue the facts, essentially.
Judging from your facial expressions, I'll give you a minute or so to respond. Yeah.
Understand the argument because I'm not too familiar with it. I understood what VP Basil was saying, but I don't think I completely understand what you're saying. VP Basil was saying that the revenue that you guys are Cornell Cinema is bringing in does not match the what's that?
The labor expenses.
Yeah, the labor expenses. So it would undoubtedly have to mean that whatever money that we're going to give you, some of it will have to go to the student salary. There's just no way around it because of the numbers that you presented. And then I think that what you're saying is that it's erroneous because your salary's in there?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so then once your salary is taken out, does that mean that the revenue and the labor costs are going to equal out? Or?
Once again, this refers to the reform that budget, and this actually refers to our current year. That we're in right now. And so I'm not exactly sure I'm following what they said either. But what you can see is our direct program expenses are that $199,000 plus the $36,000 for student wages to work the show. Total program costs are $235,000. We get $145,000 from the green activity fee. So I think that's the relevant way to look at it, saying that $145 in activity fee is healthy for our direct program costs, but it's not completely covering them. I don't know if it's relevant necessarily to look at the other costs and make comparison with other expense figures. The important thing is that we are coming up with other sources of income that do cover our other expenses.
Okay, well, real quick, though, another point of information then. I think the sentiment, I understand what you're saying, but I think the sentiment is that the fact that student assembly is going to be thinking about or appealing or appropriations or thinking about funding this, they would like, or we would like, student, the advisory committee and just students in Cornell Cinema to have a higher stake into what's going on in Cornell Cinema. Because student assembly is funding it and student activity fee is funding it. And if we shouldn't pay the, student assembly shouldn't have a say in the salary. That should be something that the university definitely should be paying for. And honestly, if it was up to me, I would say appeal to this administration and make them understand that they should be paying for student salaries and student activity fees that we all pay shouldn't have to go to people's salaries, which is, you know, which is, I think, the general sentiment here. And that's why VP Basil is so concerned with the money that he doesn't know where the money is going for the label, for the labor expenses.
Sure. I'm not sure how I'll phrase it.
No, you don't have to.
But I also want to just point out, just FYI, yes, there are labor costs involved in putting on programs. That's the reality. There are labor costs involved in putting on concerts. In fact, something like $75,000 is paid to Cornell employees to put on concerts in the country. $75,000. I don't take issue with that. I understand that they need to pay people to make those shows possible. I just don't think it's fair to apply a double standard and ask them and say, we think your program should all just happen without any
work. All right. Thanks. DOE June.
I guess it's kind of going off of what Ola said. First of all, I want to start out, I love Cornell Cinema. I've been going there for years. I think it's a fantastic thing that Cornell has, and I really do love it. I think that given the number of people in this room and given the number of people that I've talked to this week, they all feel the same exact way. So my concern here is that, you know, I've been on SA for 2.5 years. I've never seen two staff members at our table like this. And I feel like given the amount of student interest, I'm just wondering why you guys don't have a higher level of student involvement. So I guess now I want to ask you the question, you know, VP Basil asked earlier, you know, what do students do by way of, you know, getting the word out? How do students, you know, ask other students what movies they would like to see? And the response is kind of, you know, oh, it's pretty informal, oh, you know, we don't really have anything like that. I'm kind of wondering why, because I feel like there's so many students who want to get involved in this, and I'm kind of wondering why you guys, I mean, I don't know if you guys at the club fair this year, but I didn't see a table for you guys. So I guess
we're not allowed to have them.
Pardon?
We're not allowed to have them.
Why not?
I guess because we're no longer part of the students. We used to be part of the students, but because the college of arts and sciences was willing to help us out with some of our costs, and we got shifted to the college of arts and sciences, so we don't qualify as a registered student organization, and so we're not allowed to have the table.
Okay. The issue still is that I'm not really getting the feeling there's a strong student group surrounding Cornell Cinema, and I was just wondering, I mean, obviously there's more, I'm sorry that you guys can't have a... Yeah, we can.
There's students who actually
are the record. 15 seconds, go ahead. We can, go ahead, just talk. Motion to
I guess, like, when do you meet? What are your meetings like? What do you guys talk about? I guess that's just kind of what people, everyone I think here wants to hear more about.
Once a month with our general board meeting and the committee for
the
Okay, thank you.
Audience member Dominic the Captain. Thank you. Representative Cook.
I'd like to yield my time to Representative
Cook.
Sure. Thank you all for coming today. Custody budget at stake is possibly leading to a way to try and focus more on the program for our time. So I was going through with the OAM that will have less energy to
students per student. So that's 111 students. That represents less than 2.8 students per student, which is approximately 3 students. Now, I understand that Cornell Clinton offers a wide variety of titles that don't necessarily attract a vast number of people. However, considering the time that we're considering the amount of money that we're talking about, I don't find it unrealistic to ask that you have cut anywhere between 1 to 3 streams per week. I'm not sure how much money that would save, but it's an option that would save some. In addition, you mentioned that there are approximately 30,000 people that attend Now, if you were, for instance, combine this cutting 1 to 3 streams with, let's say, a 50-cent ticket price, not a large ticket price, that would bring in approximately $15,000 in addition from just the ticket price increase, which is negligible. In addition to whatever savings you get from cutting about 33 screenings to 111 screenings per year. Now,
Matt, that's time if anyone wants to.
So, I understand that we don't have to do with traffic options, but I do think that considering the amount that the amount of internal introspection that a student is having and all organizations should be going through at this time in the economy, I find it necessary that I bring these to your attention from a rough look at last year. And I think that if you really look over your budget, consider possibly cutting some of the 35 people that you employ and slightly reducing those expenses, as well as possibly cutting some of the screening that you have, increasing ticket prices by some small amount. I think it will do a lot to both increase our confidence in front of the sustainability and would also show that you're willing to really look internally. Say, what are we doing right, what are we doing wrong, and how can we address this
problem?
Sure, I appreciate the comments and feedback. Over the years, we've always had to constantly be reviewing our budget and subsequently made on a regular basis for the training and something been in the business. And we will continue to do that, and we are happy to work with the student assembly to make changes to the program to adapt to changing some culture that is on campus. I think to pull the rug out from under us by cutting our funding by 22% is probably not the best way to do that. We're happy to work with you. We're facing a $15,000 cut because of the economic downturn. And I think you put us in a very difficult position if you do that. They said we're happy to work with you. We're interested in providing the best program possible to benefit the most students possible. As I said, we're very happy to work with you, and we're happy to work with you on the way to improving the student advisory board as well.
Thanks. Representative Barbara.
I just wanted to echo, I keep hearing the same things brought up, and I just want to echo the, I have three concerns that I want to ask you guys about. First, what keeps being brought up is the money towards students and staff. As I understand, during the appropriations committee meeting, when we looked at the money going to students and staff, whether full-time, part-time, non-student, whatever, we kept coming up with a number of 2/5 of your total budget was going towards those people. Now, I understand you've revised your budget, and you're now saying that that's no longer a problem because we're paying for the specific things that don't involve that.
Although I think that's kind of sidestepping the problem, I'll go with that. But I still, under direct programming expenses, there is direct non-union labor cost.
Just one thing to before you respond to that, we're basing our decisions based on the merits of each individual organization, and you know CCC is you know a totally different function, and it just so happens that they have to employ unionized workers to deal with like the electricity and things like that. But I would recommend that you not let you know other allocations factor into your decision for this.
So. I'm assuming that what you're trying to say is our money is not going to reduce students or that's
what I'm saying.
I was trying to address that concern because they're signing you back and don't try to do it. Our second concern is your basically how the organization is run. There's been a trend with your organization from the project that we saw on Monday where your the income of your group is going year up over years and the basically the budget is increasing in deficit each year. I'd just like to have some time to address that. Your income, the money that you get from the group, it increases. We keep giving you more money. I'm looking specifically at the budget that you have, the income that you have projected for the next 2 years, and the income that you had the last 2 years is significantly higher. However, you projected a deficit in the next 2 years, whereas the previous this year and last year, you had a surplus, and now it's $16,000 deficit, and you're still projecting deficit in the next 2 years.
You're looking at the overall income totals. Could you just like to make sure what you have?
In 2008-2009, you have 500,000 approximately. 504,558. In 2009-2010, you have 494,928, and in the next 2 years, it's going to be higher at
534,000. All right. Okay, thank you. So, the one, in our projected budget for 10-11 for 11-12, we have actually put in. As if we were granted the 1175 in the activity fees, you can sort of see that those figures have gone up because that was what we were saying. If you were to grant that increase, those numbers go up. A big difference in 10-11, as you can see, is the absence form. You can see there's $25,000 there as income. That's a special thing that happens every 2 to 3 years, that the job money that comes to pronouncement has to put on a big event. The last time we got that money was in 2007-08. You can see that the cost in our budget. We brought top meetings here for major events here. That we will not get that money again in 2011-12.
Okay.
So that's why we need those differences.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not really.
At the time, are there any motions to explain?
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm not worried so much.
the increased money that you are getting in that specific year, but the general trend that you're going into a deficit each year. Some of the things that we suggested to you during the Monday meeting were to maybe lessen the number of shows that you put on. You guys didn't seem very... it basically, you told us that if anything was going to be reduced, I would like to see on your part, if you're saying that you're projecting a deficit, how can you create more money or save money to cause it for you to not get a deficit?
Right. Well, once again, this year, our budget is just a $16,000 deficit because the public will receive around 5 grand for the public because of the economic downturn. We will be basically reducing, won't be doing as many special events in the spring, won't be doing as many experimental or regional programs that we do to try to actually get our expenses down. Because these cuts just happened, we were not giving advantage notice about it. It looks like we will have to cover a chunk of that deficit out of what we're doing.
Specifically on the 2 years that we are funding.
And the 2 years that you're funding, basically what we want to illustrate was that we were not planning to send the shutters down all of the problems. We were asking for the bare minimum of an increase of shutters, 75 cents per student, to help us with this economic of the loss we were trying to carry because of the economic downturn. And you can see that it still looks as if we are going to have to figure out where we can cover those deficits in the coming years. And we will be working to do that without the assistance of the student assembly. So we recognize that we need to be addressing that. We were hoping the assembly might be able to help us with the cuts because of the economic downturn so we can maintain the quality of the program and continue to benefit as many students as possible on campus.
Wait, let's have an audience member now, Caitlin Cowie.
I have like one more thing for that.
One more thing. Sure, go before, just hold on.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just want to address the fact that you said you were asking for the bare minimum. You're asking for 75% increase, and yet you have $62,000 in reserves. I did some of the math on that, and that's approximately $2.20 for like each student for the student activity fee. So my suggestion would be, why would you be asking for an increase if you already have that money there?
Yeah.
As I wanted to point earlier, it's important for the organization fiscally responsible to have the amount of money in reserve to cover deficits and to cover equipment costs. The $60,000 that we'll have, again, if they have at the end of this year, is actually relatively little when you consider the kind of things that we might need to use that money for instance, replacing the generators and work on forms for possibly rebounding models.
Okay, go ahead, Kim. And I'm going to strictly enforce the 2 minute speaker time just because we have a lot of people left on this speaker list.
First of all, I want to really invite you to show your teachers about student involvement in our program. Student guidance is working with people who are speaking about doing some of the things that maybe more than five. So, when you think about the representation of the in terms of student job and access to the
Representative Brax.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come and speak to us today. I know this is kind of frustrating for you guys. As a member of the Appropriations Committee, I just have a couple things to address. First of all, as stated by the faculty, it by no means is the Student Assembly or any of the Appropriations Committee trying to dumb down administration, students, or staff, and we recognize the great facilities that we have in mind. However, this is a financial issue, and as one of the students pointed out, the reason that you two are sitting here in front of us is because you guys deal with the finances. What I, as an appropriations member, really would encourage for you guys, and the fact that you guys had the same battle 2 years ago, was to get more students involved in these kind of issues. This is a problem that the Appropriations Committee has with funding you guys. It's not even the fact that we're funding 25% of your salary. It's also that the students are not involved. Okay. You said 75% was not involved in the budget, so that means that 25% is. Okay. So, yeah, that's fine. That's the point. I'm sorry for that. Also, the fact that we talked about in the appropriations meeting that you guys are getting grants from the Arts and Sciences School and other outside sources. Arts and Sciences is not funding you guys as much as the Student Assembly, as much as the Student Assembly with 1175. So that raises the question as to why you guys can't have students at the student club fair to get more students involved. If we're funding you more than our design school is, you should be able to reach as many people as possible. It's the stipulation in the appropriation committee that you can meet every undergraduate student. The fact that you cannot go to the club fair is appalling and something that needs to be changed. But the fact that we're going to up your resources so that you can't even get to the
we haven't even really covered the some of the issues that assembly members have with attendance, and the idea that we can't have volunteers on EMS. On Fort Cornell Cinema, I think doesn't reflect reality because we have organizations like EMS where students commit time, hours upon hours every week to volunteer their time for these organizations. With that, I think we keep going in circles. The meeting ends in about 5 minutes. So I think we've heard everybody's point of view, and I would like to call to question.
Second. The dissent. Yes. Okay. So we're gonna vote to vote. Yeah, sure. So if you would like to vote now, please raise your hand. Out of there 20 people in attendance?
We'll just say no votes.
Am I attending?
No votes if you would like to keep debating. Six. So 15 to 6.
Okay.
Yep, so we're going to go ahead and vote now. What? Yeah, so like Chris said in the beginning, we're going to split it into two votes. First, we're going to vote whether or not to approve the Appropriations Committee decision of $8.60. That's going to require two-thirds to either approve or disapprove.
Two-thirds to disapprove.
Two-thirds to disapprove and simple majority to approve. Very well.
If it's not disapproved, then it holds, right? Yeah.
It's going to require two-thirds to disapprove. If it gets disapproved, we're going to throw... people are going to propose new numbers. And that's going to require a majority vote to be approved. And
there's the point of information, I think.
Yeah, sure. No, yeah, that's correct. Sorry? Well, all right, so will the clerk... Oh, I guess that's what the audience member was alluding to. We're waiting for approval from President Schwartzen. As to whether he approves the community clause resolution that was passed 3 weeks ago. Also, motions don't apply to the voting. Okay, will the clerk please call the roll? Is everyone clear on the voting? final chance.
So if you vote yes, we're supporting the appropriations.
If you vote yes, this is a vote to disapprove the committee.
Let's keep yes.
Okay.
If you're voting yes, you're voting to approve appropriation. If you're voting no, you're voting to disapprove. We have a point. Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, go ahead. We'll give you a minute to summarize closing points, and we'll give VP Basin to summarize. Yeah. So the next steps will be I'll open up new proposals from assembly members. And after those proposals are taken, we'll vote from a top down. So the highest number vote first we'll vote on, and then whatever the entire sure, yeah, we'll extend the meeting until 6:45 if this vote isn't taken. Sure. Yes. Summarize in a minute.
Oh, sorry. Again, quickly to summarize, the Appropriations Committee recommended funding Cornell Cinema at $8.60, a reduction from their current allocation of $11, and also below their total 2010-2012 request of $11.75. I won't take any more time because I think you all understand the issues. The vote to fund $8.60 was 9-4.
Call it, Brittany.
Yes?
Approve Appropriations Committee allocation of $8.60. No? Open it up and keep in mind people can propose more than $8.60 or less than $8.60, but not more than $11.75.
Yes.
Yes.
Pass.
No.
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 No. Pass.
Yes.
Yeah. Keep on. No. Keep on talking.
Yes.
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 Smith is absent.
No.
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 I abstain.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so the approval of Appropriations Committee failed, so we'll now open up the speaker's list.
No, it's not 11%? You said yes was to approve the decision of the Appropriations Committee.
Yeah.
So it passes.
Sorry about that. The Appropriations Committee decision holds because it you needed 2/3 to get it passed and it didn't reach the 2/3. So. Sorry about that. The Appropriations Committee decision of allocating Cornell Cinema $8.60 whole. Yeah, I thought that it needs a 2/3 decision.
The vote was 12-8-2.
Can you repeat the final count, Brittany?
10-1,
so they didn't get the required 2/3. Yes. Yeah, before everyone leaves, this is not a binding decision. We're going to revisit the entire appropriations as student activity fee allocation at the end of the semester.
Why are you doing this to me, huh?
It wasn't just to you.
I can't give it to Baby Blue Thumb.
You voted to Baby Blue Thumb? I abstained.
I voted no.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't more. The people voted.
Yeah, sure. Are there any motions? You're at 6:33.
Yeah, motions. Everything else is blended.
Adjourned? Would you like to adjourn? Sure. Meeting's adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.